So what else are you up to research-wise? Can you talk a little bit more about the gene profiling work?
Yeah. Another study we've done is we treated patients with neoadjuvant aromatase inhibitors. We actually used letrozole for 3 months, and we took samples of the tumor at time naught, 14 days and 3 months. And then we did a microarray analysis. And what we found is that you can, using microarray analysis, predict response. So if you look at the time zero samples, there are a number of genes at diagnosis which predict response. If you look at 14 days, there are a number of genes which predict response, but the most effective way of predicting response is to look at the genes which change between the time of diagnosis and 14 days. And you can, with a high degree of accuracy, after 2 weeks treatment, looking at what genes change, predict which patients are going to get a tumor shrinkage at 3 months. And that's valuable for a number of reasons. First of all, it's valuable because essentially we could have a gene signature which will allow you to determine which patients should continue on the drug. It's also valuable for understanding how the drugs work. But more importantly, it's valuable for understanding why they don't work. And what we found was the patterns of change in the responders were very homogeneous. In other words, the genes that were switched off or switched on in those patients who responded were very consistent. But alarmingly, in a way, in the non-responders, the genes that were switched on and switched off were very different from each other. So what that tells us is that resistance is much more complicated than response. And therefore, the pathways activated in resistant tumors are multiple and vary from one tumor to another. That is, I'm sure, why nobody yet has been able to come up with one explanation for tamoxifen resistance. And I don't think anybody will come up with one explanation for AI resistance. And I think the chances of you combining an AI with one other drug, or a biological agent, and being able to improve response dramatically is doomed.
Would you have more hope for a biologic agent plus an endocrine agent?
What I think you're going to need is an endocrine agent plus two or three biologic agents. The reason being is once with this work we understand which pathways are important in resistance, we can then attack those pathways. But I don't think it's going to be one pathway. I think you're going to need to attack two or three pathways at the same time. And there's some very interesting work in animal models supporting that. In some of the animal models, they've never managed to eradicate the cancer long term, except when you use an endocrine agent and you block not one, not two, but three pathways. If you block multiple pathways that we know are associated with resistance and give the endocrine agent alone, then you don't get any resistant tumors growing out in the long term. And I think that's probably where we're going to go in the future.
When you look at the types of genes that are suppressed, does it play out in terms of any story, in terms of what's going on in terms of the cell?
Yes, it does. I mean, you can see the genes involved in protein synthesis. You can see the genes involved in proliferation. What's interesting is that the genes that change most in 2 weeks aren't necessarily the genes that predict for response. You get some fairly dramatic reductions just because you remove estrogen. But actually, the ones that change most aren't important because they change most in almost every tumor. And what you're really looking for is genes that change differentially in responders or non-responders. So some of the changes are not that dramatic, but it so happens that the changes are the genes are upregulated in responders and downregulated in non-responders or vice versa.
You know, it's funny, as you were talking, it sounds kind of weird, but I was thinking about some of the work that's come out in the last couple of years in lung cancer, looking at the EGFR mutations and tyrosine kinase inhibitors and the issue of non-smoking patients who get lung cancer who are non-smokers having more of a response and more of a homogeneous kind of situation than the smokers, where the idea is there's so many different genetic hits from the smoke that it's a much more complicated tumor. In a way, what you just described, I don't know, it made me think about that. Is that kind of an analogy?
No, I think you're right. I mean, yeah, there is one of the things I think the more we learn, the more we realize we don't understand. There is such enormous heterogeneity out there in tumors. But at least in terms of response to an AI, the gene changes are fairly consistent.
I guess I'm thinking that in lung cancer, at least we have an obvious major, you know, etiologic agent in terms of smoke. In breast cancer, we're kind of in the dark, but there probably are subsets of breast cancer that sort of genetically are totally different.
Well, I'm sure there are, and we know that from the work on different types,
sure, basal, Peru, luminal, et cetera, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, that's very interesting work, and we're looking at those subsets in our own tumors. The other thing that's interesting, we're going to do some work with Jenny Chang. Jenny's done work on stem cells, and one of the reasons it appears that chemotherapy is often not effective is because what it hits is the non-stem cells. So, yes, you get a massive reduction in tumor volume, but what's left are the stem cells, and they repopulate. And we're going to look at endocrine treatment. We've got lots of samples we're going to look at with Jenny to see if we can show that endocrine agents have a perhaps a better effect on stem cells. And that's maybe why they, in the long term, if you respond to endocrine therapy, you have a better response in the long term, say, than chemo.
That's interesting that you hooked up with her, because, of course, we work with her also in our education program. She's done, you know, great work in terms of neoadjuvant therapy with chemo, and particularly with trastuzumab. But the other thing is that, you know, she's very passionate, as you are, about the need to look in the neoadjuvant setting to try to understand this better.